This morning I'm going to talk to you about something that is, hopefully I'm going to answer some questions, but I don't presume to answer all the questions. But I'm going to talk about embracing and pursuing the vision of God. But what I'm really going to address is that overall vision of God, that larger vision of God. I will not be able to answer the specifics of the vision for you in specific ways. I will not be able to give you the details in this message, but what I do want to do is tell all of us together, we are all come under this vision that God has for his people, and all of us are part of God's vision. So when it comes to the vision of God, people often are pondering profound and deeply personal questions like, what does it mean to see or understand God's vision for my life? How can I discern God's will and align my actions with his purpose? What's God's ultimate plan for humanity, and how am I part of that? How does God reveal his vision to us? Does he do it through prayer? Does he do it through scriptures? Is it in life events and circumstances? How do I hear or see the will of God? And can human actions influence or reflect God's vision? Those are some very good and some very deep questions that many people are asking, all the time people asking me that kind of question. What I usually try to do is point them away from the specific things that they want to know about or think about into the overall purpose of God for us, because when we move into the overall purpose of God, we then begin to hear about the specifics. But we've got to, first of all, accept that God's vision is going to be our vision for our lives. In fact, do you know why Jonah struggled to follow God's vision? He was afraid it would make quite a splash. I just had to do that. Like, I just had to say that. I mean, I heard that joke and I was like, I got to use that. Micah 6:8. In the book of Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's a good life vision statement right there. And the vision of God for us, as it's shared throughout the Bible, often emphasizes love and faith and having a purposeful life that is aligned with the will of God. So that's how the Bible defines it. It includes life living in harmony with other people, seeking justice, showing mercy, walking humbly in the presence of God, as it is described in that verse we just read. Those are some very good references for us to think about in terms of what is the vision of God and what does our life need to look like. Ultimately, it's about recognizing his purpose for our lives and then reflecting his love through the actions and the decisions that we make outwardly to others around us. God's vision is deeply rooted then in his desire for a relationship with humanity. That's the kind of vision God has. It's about relationship. God wants to be in relationship with his people. It's a connection that is based on his love. It's based on our trust. It's also based on our faith in him. God loved us first, but do we love him? That's where the trust and the faith comes in. So from the beginning of creation, God's purpose has been to bring people close to himself, to experience his love, to share that love with other people. And it's not that you just come close and then you're close, but you continually are coming close to God to understand that. So in the broad sense of what God's vision is, it's a call, firstly, to live with purpose. Every person is uniquely designed with the gifts and the talents that to fulfill specific roles in that grand plan that God has for you. You're gifted and you're talented according to what God's plan already has been for you. You're just discovering what that plan is. But in discovering that, you also need to discover the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God's given to you. And that becomes part of understanding the vision of God for you. So then Jeremiah 29:11 said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." But I like Ephesians 2:10 because it says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So God prepared some good works for you. And he's done that by preparing it in you, firstly. He's given you what you need to do the good works. So what we're trying to understand then about the vision of God is, what are those works that you want me to get into so that I'm actually walking in that vision that you've given to me? It also includes being stewards of his provisions and even stewards of his creation around us. If you look at Genesis 2:15, back in the beginnings we see the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Why? To tend and keep it. So people were created to tend and keep, so that everything that God has put into your life, you're responsible to tend and keep it. Everything that God's blessed you with, you become a steward of that blessing. Everything he's created around us, we're the stewards of that as well. I'm not going to lean heavily over onto the political side of that. I'm not talking about being extremely green as we see in our world today. But I'm saying there's a general concern and care about creation that God has called us to. And everything that God put into your hands becomes the thing in which you're responsible for. You are the steward of it, and God gives you a responsibility for it. But he then wants that to be part of his vision for you in this world. And that's why God is entrusting it into our hands. Now, that's really phenomenal when you think about it, that God has entrusted things into our hands. I mean, I don't know how it is in your life, but when I look at my life, sometimes I think, God, why did you entrust me with some things? Like, I'm probably not the best option here. But God doesn't look at people like that. He looks at us as the people whom he wants to be with and the people he loves, and he wants to work through us and bless us so that then we become a blessing to other people around us. So then this vision calls us to spread his word, to live as his ambassadors by sharing that good news and reflecting his character to other people around us. So part of the vision God has for you is that you become a reflection of himself in the world. That's a vision God has for you. And you look at yourself and go, I don't know if this is the best reflection, but God's working in you. And he is making you a good reflection. If you look at Matthew 28, you know this verse probably. Matthew 28:19-20 goes on. But it's that great commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you look at that, you realize God's saying, you, my people, will be those ambassadors who will come to the people who need to hear more about me. It sounds very simple, doesn't it? But it's not so simple sometimes. But even Paul said to Corinthians, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You hear that passion in the Apostle Paul's voice in his writing here. You can see and feel something there. He's saying, this is so important that people will come to understand who God is and that he loves them. And he's saying, we're the ambassadors of that message. We're ambassadors of God himself. And when we come to the people, we're coming to bring reconciliation between them and God. But we come to them representing God for them at that moment. That's part of the vision of God for us. You can't get escape that. You can't get away from that. You can't say, well, I like the idea of spreading, you know, being a steward. I like the idea of living in purpose and other good things here. But I don't know about this spreading the word part. But to be part of the vision of God, we're called to share the word. And then to choose righteousness and holiness. By aligning our lives with his command, by coming into agreement with the commands of his word, we grow into individuals that God's envisioning us to be already. You see, God sees us as we will be, but he also knows that we're growing into that, and the word of God getting into us. And as we continue to choose righteousness, choose holiness, choose to follow the commands of God, we're growing into what he envisions us to be. So the vision of God is already there, but we're coming into the reality of that vision by what we are growing in, the things that God's giving us to grow in. We learn from the scriptures. We hear the word of God, and we apply it in our life, and it becomes part of us. Sometimes to the point where you don't even know it's the word of God that you're acting on, because you've absorbed it into your life so much. But it becomes who you are. And as that's happening, you're growing into the vision of God, of what he has for you. That holiness, that righteousness is growing up in you. 1 Peter in chapter 1, it says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it's written, be holy, for I'm holy. So you see the connection in that verse. There's a command, be holy. But you see at the end of the verse, there's the connection. Because he's holy, I will be holy. You see, that's the relationship. That's what God says. I want the vision to be always about that we're in a relationship. That's my vision for your life, that we're in relationship. So when he says, be holy, he's saying, because I'm holy. But when you come into God and he's into you, that holiness is in you now. And you are becoming like him. The holiness of Christ is in you, and that is the holiness that's still growing up inside of you. It's not you that is really holy, is it? Your own self, your own flesh, your own ways, you're not choosing holiness all the way. But what you're doing is you're surrendering your will to him and saying, I want to be like you. And in doing that, you are the holiness of God. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what he's done. But I'm coming into more holiness daily because he's holy in me. And then that vision calls us to experience joy and peace. It's not a vision that is just about do all the right things and you know, hope everything works out for you. But he's saying, this is a good life. This is a good thing. If you come into the vision of God for your own life, you will experience joy. You will experience peace. You will come into the good things of God when you do it that way. You'll come into what it says in the New Testament about that it's an abundant life when we come into God. It's abundant life. So that's why there's joy and peace by when you begin to live according to the will of God as he's directing you. You find this true fulfillment inside of yourself. You get this harmony in your life as things begin to synchronize and work together. And you start to realize this is good. This is a joyful life. This is a peaceful life. Well, you know, turn it around and let's say the opposite. What happens when you're not walking in the vision of God? That's true. You get out of the vision of God and you don't have so much peace and joy, do you? Philippians 4, 7. When you pray, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because when you're praying, when you're talking to God, you're in relationship. You're communicating with God. You're communicating with the one who saved you and has, you know, brought you into the kingdom of God. And when that's happening, he says, you're coming into, through that, the peace of God. And that peace surpasses all of our understanding. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's what Jesus says. That I speak these things to you. I tell you the truth. I bring you the good news. I tell you what is really the vision of God. And as you accept that, what I'm doing is offering to you something. And that what I'm offering is that joy will remain in your life. You're not living a life that's a drudgery, but you're living a life that's full of peace and joy then. But God's vision is one of redemption and restoration. God loves when people's lives aren't right together, when they come to Him. He loves to take people in whose lives are a mess because He sees a vision for them already. He has a vision for you before you came to Him. He has a vision for your friends before they even turn their life over to Him. Because God's vision is the same for everyone. That you are going to be in Him and He's going to be in you. So God has this vision where His children reflect His love and they bring His kingdom values to the world. It's a vision that leads to a greater understanding of ourselves and a deeper connection with our Creator. That's the vision of God. It's about redemption, but it's about restoration. God redeems you. He pays for you. He brings you back. But then He restores you. So it doesn't stop with just saying, you're back in my house. You're one of mine now. And then leave you in your mess. No. He brings you home. And He says, now let me restore you. Make you everything that I've envisioned you to be. And have abundant life. I came across this story, and I want to read this story to you. Because it kind of helps summarize a bit of what I've been saying already. It's a story about a young man named Alex. Alex was a young man raised in a devout Christian family. He attended church every Sunday. He knew the Bible stories by heart and participated in mission trips. And on the surface, Alex seemed to have a strong faith. But deep down, he struggled. He often asked himself, why am I here? What's God's purpose for my life? Then as he grew older, the questions became even louder. He watched his friends find their callings. One became a pastor. Another was a worship leader. And Alex, on the other hand, was stuck in this corporate job, and he felt empty and uninspired. And he wondered if he had missed some divine sign in his life. What was he supposed to be doing? Was it something else, maybe? And then one evening, he was feeling kind of lost, and Alex was opened his Bible, and he started to read, and he fell upon Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And the words begin to stir something inside of him. But they were also frustrating him. So he whispered this silent prayer. What are those plans, Lord? Desperate for answers, Alex began to fast and pray, looking for guidance. And he spent some days seeking God's voice. But instead of a clear answer, he was actually met with silence. Frustrated, he confided in an older mentor from his church, Mr. Thompson. The older man smiled kindly and he said, Alex, God's purpose isn't always a lightning bolt. It's often a steady lamp lighting your next step. Sometimes we're focused on finding the grand plan that we miss those small daily ways to see that God is working through us. So actually, then, encouraged by that, Alex began to focus on the little things and praying for his co-workers, volunteered at his church, being present with his family more. Slowly, he realized God's purpose wasn't about a specific career or achievement. It was about loving and serving others wherever he was. So one day, and this is the part that's really sweet, one day during work, went to lunch, and a colleague started to confide in Alex about his personal struggles. And Alex shared his faith with him, and he offered to pray for him. And that simple moment became the turning point for Alex to understand something about God's vision. He realized that his corporate job wasn't just a job. It was his mission field. God had placed him there specifically for a reason. From then on, Alex embraced his role with a new purpose. His life wasn't perfect. He didn't always feel certain about the future, but he trusted that God was guiding him now, one step at a time. You see, Alex figured something. There's a big plan here. God's vision is not as specific sometimes as much as it is all of it. I want to step into your vision, God. And when Alex recognized that God was there in the lunchroom, it changed his life. God has a plan. He read that from Jeremiah 29:11, what we just read in that story, that I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. And we have a choice to follow that plan. See, God has the plan, but we have a choice always. And we have a choice to follow the plan or not follow the plan. In Proverbs 19:21, it highlights the importance of following the purpose. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. Our minds also have to be changed. The Bible talks about a transformation. Our minds need to be changed in order that we accept the plan of God. So Romans 12:2 talks about this transformation, the renewing of the mind. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our minds need to be changed so that we begin to think like Alex learned to think, that God has a plan for me, and that plan does not mean I have to figure out some specific spiritual position I can get in order to be in the vision that God has for me. But the plan and the purpose of God is that he wants to use me wherever I am. But I have to adjust my thinking to that and say, God, here I am. You see, I am here, so here I am. Wherever I am, I can say to God, here I am. And the vision of God is still overriding my life because I'm walking with him. And that specific detailed things that I want to know what I'm supposed to do comes out of just living in the vision of God already so that he can direct me and lead me to specific things. I may not know what is tomorrow. I may not know what is going to be next year. I might not know what is a specific thing I have to be doing then. But I know that I want to be in the vision God has for me. And I will just keep in that vision, doing the things that he's given me to do, so that when he says, go that way, I go that way. Then the little specific thing starts to get clear. Oh, So you're going to give me this position and I will do this thing now. Yes, that's what I envisioned for you. But you just didn't know that. Let's think about some real life situations that can apply to this vision of God. The missionary, a person who leaves the comfort of their home to serve others in areas outside their culture, following God's vision. They trust Him to guide their lives, and they spread the word, and they care for people. But then you have a teacher. A teacher who invests their time in mentoring and developing students. They're fostering not only the academic growth, but they begin to foster the character of the person. They're living out God's call to nurture, God's call to disciple. That's part of the vision of God for them. And then you have the various people who have problems, trials, challenges, we can say. Someone facing a difficult circumstances, such as an illness or a loss. But when they face it, they go into it with an unwavering faith, and their focus is on God and understanding God has a bigger plan than this right now. And when they do that, they demonstrate their life is aligned with His vision. And then their endurance and their testimony begins to inspire other people to trust Him even more. So they have now been walking in the vision of God. You say, well, that's not so spiritual, maybe. But how many people have they impacted already? And then there's the parent who's raising a child. In faith, a parent instilling biblical values in their children. They're modeling Christ-like love. They're living out God's vision by nurturing the next generation. There's a faith and a righteousness that's being trained and taught into that next generation. And so we say, well, that's not so special. That's not like some church position, maybe. No, but you're following the vision of God for your life. And that vision is allowing God to work through you to impact and change and help other people. Each of those examples shows us how the vision of God looks in a broad sense. Because it requires trust, it requires dedication, and a willingness to put His plan above our own plan. Which of those would resonate with you maybe this morning? Some of those. I think we could envision a lighthouse just now. God's vision can be compared a little bit to a lighthouse. That light is continual. And it's providing direction even amid a storm in people's lives. But that light's still going. The vision of God is still going. His vision for you is still there. Even in the midst of the storm, that light is shining brightly through. But by keeping our eyes fixed on His word and on His promises, we can navigate our way back to the shore. But that's the vision of God that we have to follow. Somebody was saying this is why Christians never lose their way following God's vision. He said it's because they have the best GPS. And he took the initials, GPS, God's positioning system. When you're tuned into God, into His vision, then He will guide you. You will know where to go for the next step. But it's not going to show you all the steps. In your own GPS, you can click the list and scroll, you know. And it's going to show you all the steps. what might be coming. And we love that today, don't we? But the God's positioning system just has a general map there. It says you're here and you're going that way. But we're in the vision of God. And he's guaranteeing he will guide you and take care of you if you will stay in his vision. Now, let me read Micah 6:8, as we heard already. But I want to read it from the Messenger version because it often throws a little bit of interesting flavor to this. So here is Micah 6:8. But he's already made it plain how to live and what to do, what God's looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously, but take God seriously. To close this now, I want to have up on the screen, I'm going to have us read a response to that together, and I want us to read this together as a commitment that we're making just now, all right? So can we stand as we read this? Okay, ready? Let's read this out loud. To follow the vision of God, I dedicate myself to understanding his purpose for me, living with faith, and embodying his teachings through love, service, and devotion.